Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Not all that sure I'm full of wisdom and knowledge either, but it is what it is, right? Yeah, if you've been around for any amount of time, which I look out and most of you have, I believe, you've probably heard a few messages about the tongue and our words. Most of those messages have probably been about the negative aspects of our words. Words have a tremendous impact, and they can be a blessing or they can be very detrimental. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and we'll see what we can find here. The first one is probably the bedrock of the control your tongue scriptures. In the book of James, James chapter 3. James 3, and starting in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest fire, or how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Not really all that positive, is it? With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. I'm not sure how many messages on the tongue I've heard, but that scripture, I think, has been in every one of them. If we go back to the Old Testament, and we can see where it's not just a New Testament thing, the problem with the tongue. Back in Psalm 34, and starting in verse 11, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So we have admonition about watching our tongue, watching our words, watching our mouth. We go a little bit further, a couple pages further on in the book of Psalms, to Psalm 37. Here's a little bit of a positive outlook on the tongue. Psalm 37 and verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. His tongue talks of justice. So there is two sides of the tongue. It can be positive or it can be negative. A little bit further on, we look in the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs gives us an if-but situation. Proverbs chapter 15, starting in verse 1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath. That's good. But a harsh word stirs up anger. That's not good. The tongue of the wise, verse 2, uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So we have an option with our tongue. We can be positive or we can be negative. We can say good things or we can say bad things. I think this is one of my favorite scriptures about tongue. This is in Proverbs verse 25. In Proverbs verse 25 and in verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. And the title of this message is A Word Fitly Spoken. Verse 12, it says, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. So our tongue can speak positive or our tongue can speak negative. The tongue can speak hope or the tongue can speak despair. The tongue can speak blessings or the tongue can speak curses. In the same way, individual words can have a positive impact or they can have a negative impact. What I'd like to do today is to show you how a word fitly spoken can bring a much better result in understanding when reading scripture and will bring the scripture into clearer focus and appreciation. Now, last week, Mr. Bedetti, in his Italian language lesson that he gives us, he spoke to us about amore. Is that all right?
That's it.
All right. I looked up amore on the internet and found the meaning of amore to be simply love or affection. I don't know if Mr. Bedetti will agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, love or affection. And it wasn't that long ago. Amore. It wasn't that long ago that our brother Stan told us his feelings about the English language and how it doesn't always make sense. Something to that effect. I must say, I wholeheartedly agree with Stan. In that instance especially. Consider the fact that there are seven different Greek words that when translated into English, all say love. And they can be words that mean love toward family members like a child. They can mean brotherly love, or they can mean the love of God toward his family and his people. The problem is that Satan in our society has cheapened and degraded the word love so much that a new word is needed to replace love to try and express the feeling that we once attributed to love. I think I have that word, at least until I can find a better word. To describe the Greek word agape. That's the kind of love that we want to talk about today. A long time ago, there was a band that made a recording, and it zoomed to number one on the Billboard Top 100. The lyrics of the first verse of that song caused a lot of young women, their hearts to race, and to have a special desire to have someone special say those words to them. The name of that song was simply Cherish. And I imagine that a lot of you have heard that song. Cherish became a staple of wedding ceremonies and slow dances. And Cherish, this is amazing to me, was considered to be the 22nd most played song of the whole 20th century. And it had a couple other songs. I don't remember all the songs, but a few of the songs that it was up against, the most played for the century, like White Christmas, like Mack the Knife by Bobby Darin, and Respect by Aretha Franklin. What I'd like to do now, I would like to recite this first, excuse me, the first verse of the song Cherish to you. But what I'd like you to do, I would like you to try and get your mind thinking that this is God speaking to you. Cherish is the word I use to describe all the feeling that I have hiding here for you inside. You don't know how many times I wish that I have told you. You don't know how many times I've wished that I could hold you. You don't know how many times I've wished that I could mold you into someone who would cherish me as much as I cherish you. It seemed like overnight the phrase, I love you, faded into the background. It didn't hold the same feeling and emotion as before. Cherish means so much more than the world's version of love. We cherish something, it becomes the center of our focus, like the pearl of great price, or like the hidden treasure from Matthew 13. Cherish is something that you do when you have something, some kind of a keepsake, like if you have a ring or a piece of jewelry that's been handed down from generation to generation to generation. That's special. Years ago, I had a friend who cherished his 1957 Chevy convertible. It was a beauty, I'll tell you. He spent countless hours cleaning and polishing and wiping and cleaning and polishing and wiping and cleaning and polishing. And he would wash that car 7 days a week if there was a little bit of dirt on it. It was his baby. In his focus, he basically worshiped that car. He really cared way too much for that car, and would go to a shopping center or a mall, and he'd park way out in the distance, away from everybody else, so he could hopefully keep it from being scratched. That car was so important to him that it was instrumental in his divorce. And the car was handed down to him by his brother, which I still can't. Fortunately, I don't have any younger brothers, because if I had a 57 Chevy, they ain't getting it. If you cherish something, you will care for it, you will protect it, you'll hold it close to your heart. No wonder the ladies back then thought that cherish was much better than the world's version of love. So a lot of people all at once wanted cherish a lot more than they wanted the kind of love that this world offers. Let me read some of the meanings for cherish from the thesaurus to help you get a better picture. Hold dear, prize, treasure, admire, regard, esteem, revere, adore, idolize, worship, dearly love, think the world of, love to distraction. So much more than the world's definition of love. Love couldn't compare to cherish. The word in the New Testament that shows God's love is agapeo, or agape. It usually means an active kind of love. An active kind of love that God had for his son and for his people. And the active kind of love that his people should have for God, for each other, and even enemies. The Strong's numbers for those words are 25 and 26. I'm thinking that agape should have been translated cherish instead of love. I think the translators of the Bible had it wrong. But when they translated it, I think love probably meant a lot more than what the world has bring it to mean now. Consider this. John 14, verse 15. If you cherish me, keep my commandments. Verse 23 of John 14. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone cherishes me, he will keep my word, and my Father will cherish him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Agape could be defined as charity. In the King James Version, it is in 1 Corinthians 13. However, we often think of charity nowadays as giving away money or things, which doesn't encompass all of what agape is about. Agape love is unconcerned with the self and is concerned with the greatest good of others. Agape isn't just born of emotions, feelings, familiarity, or attraction, but from the will and as a choice. Now, Mr. Benetti last week spoke to us about choices. We have a lot of choices in this life. Love should be a choice, shouldn't be a feeling. Agape requires faithfulness, commitment, sacrifice, and expecting nothing in return. This is the type of love the Bible speaks about the most. The New Testament references agape over 200 times. To the Greeks, proper agape meant general empathy or loving kindness for all people. Though in the Bible, Christians are indeed expected to care for all in the name of Christ, Christianity took this a step further. Biblical writers use God as a standard for true agape. Agape love in the Bible is love that comes from God. God's love isn't sentimental, it's his character. God loves from an outpouring of who he is. As 1 John 4, verse 8 says, God is love, agapeos, meaning he is the source of agape love. His love is undeserved, gracious, and sacrificial. We are to love others with agape love. We are to love one another with agape love. And we ought to love God with agape love. Agape is a choice, deliberate striving for another's highest good, and is demonstrated through action. God set the standard for agape love in sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. John 3:16, God so cherished the world. In conclusion, I'd like to tell you that the last line of the song Cherish is the same as the last line of the first verse, only it's got 14 added words. And I have to ask you this, when I was reciting this before, does anybody's mind playing the music in their head? Okay, there we go, thank you. That's one of those songs, I mean, it just, okay. All right, the last verse of the song Cherish goes like this. You don't know how many times I've wished that I could mold you into someone who would cherish me as much as I cherish you. And again, I ask you to think of God saying that to you. The last 14 words they added, "And I do cherish you. And I do cherish you." Cherish is the word. Have a great rest of your Sabbath, friend.